What up, ladies and gents? We are back yet again.
My name is Cletus, and that is Thomas. What was that? What was that little Southern American voice?
Not quite sure, Dimitri, but you know, just happened. You put the weight on my shoulders, and I turned into Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. And what? Yeah. If you have ever watched The Simpsons, you will know who Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel is.
Apparently, but that would be racist, wouldn't it?
Give a fuck.
Because Apu is a caricature of an Indian immigrant, and Cletus is a caricature of a Southern American man.
Yeah.
Apu's called to be banned. Why isn't the whole show based on a premise of stereotypes and caricatures?
Yeah, of course. Homer Simpson being the atypical working class blue collar man.
Fat, lazy.
Alcoholic. Bad father.
True. Smacks his kids. Chokes. Hits them. Are you the opposite of David Beckham, apparently?
Yeah. Was it
that he did?
I believe he showed affection for his daughter.
But before you say that, think of the just to our listeners, think of the most despicable thing that a father can do, and then listen to this.
The most despicable thing that he could do to his daughter.
Hmm.
And then, you know, David Beckham, are you ready? He went and kissed his daughter on the lips, mate.
Oh my God.
Oh, oh my
fucking God.
Jesus. Just sack him.
From what?
From fatherhood, mate. Put the kid up for adoption. Clearly, she's being abused.
So, he put a picture out of him giving a peck. Not even like, we're not talking kiss, it, like, you know, a father kissing his daughter like they do in South America's or Norwich. Why are you laughing?
No reason.
But genuinely, you know, his daughter gave him a peck on the lips. Now, riddle me this, Thomas.
Yes.
I've seen you kiss your mum and dad on the lips.
Fairly certain you haven't, but okay.
But when your daughter is, what, 5, 6?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? Sure. Even when your son is 5 or 6, I'm pretty sure that's not sexual.
There's no sexual intentions there at all, obviously.
Who was the man that cried wolf on this one?
I believe it was none other than the reputable, highly non-controversial Piers Morgan.
Right, so, okay, here's my thing about this, right? Either he's taking the piss, which is highly probable, because he's a massive wind-up merchant.
Yeah. He's a merchant.
He's a merchant. he's just a piss taker. A troll, as people would say.
Yeah.
Or he has some fucking dark thoughts and he should not be allowed near children.
I mean, that's it. Unless when he was 5, he migrated from kisses on the lips to a firm handshake with his parents.
Just a nod on the head. Hello, father. Father.
Piers. You've done well in your grains today, Piers. Thank you, father. Would you like a kiss? No. Just a handshake will suffice.
Yes. because I think a lot of the time, and this is actually commonplace everywhere. So I was out with some friends over the weekend in London, because, you know, I do what I got to do. And
in Chinatown.
And someone said something like, oh, you know, but that's such an Asian thing. And then they kind of...
Go on.
Like, well... And it kind of... So, and then they kind of... They saw that I didn't mind. But I was like, if you think that that's racist, then clearly... It... You know, there's something wrong with that. Because I don't think that every time anyone says Asian, it's racist.
Of course. How could it possibly be?
Like, you know, if someone said, oh, you know, but why are you wearing that white shirt? And then suddenly, like, looked at you in fear. Because you're white. But
excuse me, did you just say that's a white shirt? You're being done, mate. That's harassment.
But then, to be fair, I call Black Friday Friday. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, earlier I just called it Ethnic Friday, you know.
That's even worse, probably, isn't it? You're not even giving benefit of
why is it called? I was just about to ask. I really don't understand, why is it called Black Friday? And then where the fuck in Thanksgiving did Cyber Monday come from?
Well, I mean, that's just to make money. But Black Friday, is that because they just... The pilgrims destroyed and killed and massacred a load of Native Americans?
I mean, if that's the case, then I'm pretty sure that the Native Americans wouldn't want it to be referred to as Black Friday.
Well, you know, but it's like was it the Black Friday when there was
with the Templars?
No, with the Irish War, the conflict, the troubles. Was it a Black Friday? Something like that, wasn't it?
What was the bombing?
Was it Black Monday? Anyway, it was a black day of the week. Black Wednesday. So it's just so apparently, according to Wikipedia, Black Friday is not an official holiday, but California and some other states observe the day after Thanksgiving as a holiday for state government employees. Sometimes in lieu, that is how you pronounce it, because that's French.
Sure.
Of another federal, such as Columbus Day. So it's just a day. It's just a bank holiday.
Sure. On a Friday, and for some reason it's coloured.
It's black, yeah. Well,
yeah, it's given a colour.
Fine. I mean, it's like Boxing Day for Christmas for us. Which the Americans don't understand. Oh my god, that's so cute. They've got another day. They've got a holiday after the Christmas. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. At least we don't have fucking Thanksgiving. Ooh, the day that we say thanks for all the pilgrims that massacred the Native Indians.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks.
That's good. So, tell me your thoughts about this woman, right? Yeah, so I've read this today. So this American, obviously it's in America. Obviously it's in America.
Of course.
American woman was flying Southwest Airlines, and she gave her boarding pass to the airline worker. He laughed, took a picture of the ticket, because her daughter's name was ABCDE. Yes, that's right. You heard that right, listeners. Her name, her daughter's name, was ABCDE, as in the beginning of an alphabet.
Well, the alphabet, not an alphabet.
That could be. Anyway, so he... I think they got quite offended by it. She got her 5 minutes of fame on whatever local piece of crap news that, you know. And apparently her name should be pronounced Absidy.
Absidy.
Hmm.
I mean, is that her full name, as in Absidy?
No,
or her first name is Absidy.
Her first name is ABCDE, spelled ABCDE. So I wonder if she has a brother, would they call her FGHIJ and call him
Fiji?
Shig.
Oh, man.
So, first of all, if you're going to call your daughter ABCDE, look, to be fair, whatever she wants to do, it's her daughter. She's seemingly an adult. I don't really care. But it is ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous.
If I call my son Crapbag, and then I was offended whenever anyone smiled or laughed at that name, I would be pretty idiotic to not take that bit of pinch of salt. if I didn't want my son to be laughed at, I probably wouldn't call him crap bag.
Yeah.
It's the same with A, B, C, D, E. First of all, whoever that mother is, whatever her name is, let's call her Laurie with an I, because I assume that's what her name is. If you don't want your... Don't call your daughter A, B, C, D, E if you don't want people to laugh at it. It's a very unusual name, i.e. there's only one of them.
Yeah.
And secondly, you must know that unless you're outside of the English-speaking world, well, actually, no. Even if you go to Russia, they will read it and go, A, B, C, D, E. Like the alphabet. What do you mean? But then, to be fair to her, aren't all names just the alphabet rearranged?
No.
All she was doing is just putting it in order.
All right, okay, yeah, fine. If you're going to do that, have the whole fucking alphabet done.
Well, that's rude. Apologise to her.
I just... no, I'm not going to, because Absidy's a fucking stupid name and you really shouldn't have called your daughter it. She's going to have so many issues. All right, Absidy. All right, Abagada. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's half a fucking magic spell. Do you know what I mean?
I just love the fact that she got mad at it. I just love the fact that... Well, first of all, okay. The one thing that the airline pilot probably shouldn't have done is taken his phone out, and taken...
Yeah. Sorry, madam. Just have to scan this one.
Let me just scan it further by using FaceTime.
I've got some homies on Northwest Airlines that will like this one.
Oh my god, I mean, Jesus Christ.
It's bad.
No, it is bad. It is bad. It is bad.
On both parties, to be fair, the guy shouldn't have got his phone out and taken a picture, but, you know, instant remedy. Don't call your fucking child Absidy.
No.
Spelt with the first five letters of the alphabet.
Exactly. Pronounce it correctly. A, B, C, D, E.
Oh, sorry.
It's a bit... Okay. I get a bit mad at this, right? Because it's like if someone calls their... If someone writes their name as Smith, but they want to be pronounced as Smythe.
Yes. Stick a Y in there.
I just think as... you're pretentious. I knew a girl.
Of course.
We both knew a girl in Yui, Alice Bucket.
No, we didn't.
We did. We did. She wanted to be known as Alice Bouquet.
Are you sure that that's not
you're a bucket.
The TV show you're thinking
no,
of?
No, no, no. She was called Bucket.
Was that her nickname?
Wow. Hey, are you sure you don't know her?
I'm pretty sure, mate. To be honest, if I'd have met someone with the surname of Bucket, I'm fairly certain that would have stayed with me for a long time, considering I am such an ass.
Oh.
It's not a name I would have easily forgotten.
Anyway, she's called Alice Bucket. It's quite funny. It's quite funny. Anyway, but it's like funny. Someone called Bucket be wanting to be called Bouquet. Just call yourself Bucket. Just admit it. The faster and quicker that you... Well, that's the same thing. The faster that you admit to everyone, yeah, my name's Bucket. Yeah, it's hilarious. Move on. The simpler, because if you say, oh, it's Bouquet, how's it spelled? B-U-C-K-E-T. It's a bucket. No, Bouquet.
Yeah.
No, it's
Bucket. Is it spelled as the same as a bunch of flowers arranged? Oh, it's not. Is it spelt the same as something that you would attribute a mop to? Oh, it is. Bucket it is,
or a
then.
Bucket full of, you know, semen. Why not? Oh, come on.
Semen. A bucket full of semen. That's delightful.
Imagine that. Just a bucket.
Someone's having a good weekend.
To the brim of gas.
Holding it on the sides and you can feel it wriggling.
But it's like thick. It's like jelly. It's like a custard jelly. A bucket full of white semen.
Yeah. Fine. I'm just really struggling to understand how we have come to this.
A bucket full of cum. Yeah.
I mean, I know that, you know, I know we were thinking about certain things earlier, in regards
Well, you
to,
need to elaborate
you
now
know,
because
our.
you need to elaborate.
Well,
It's not clear.
we were discussing how to advertise this episode well, and you said, let's say something
Yeah, bucket full
provocative.
of cum.
Yeah, that's going to be the caption. So if you've been encaptured by the captioning of bucket full of cum, that's not.
No, let's just avoid that. Let's just avoid that. No, but seriously. So, back in 2016, this guy called Arshed Hussein, first name, first three letters are spelled arse, so you know. He and his buddies or his brothers, they. That's not funny. So apparently, I didn't know this because I think, well, there was a TV show, wasn't there, called the Rotherham, about the Rotherham grooming gang.
The pedophile ring.
And he, so it was him and three brothers, abused more than 50 girls, and one of the girls who was just 14 got pregnant with his baby, I believe. He's been jailed. And then Rotherham Council, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, sent information to her and him about care proceedings for the baby, stating that the father has the right to see his baby.
It's just an absolutely dreadful decision or an oversight, whatever it is. It's fucking bad. Someone has got to be losing a job there.
If that was a joke, fairly elaborate joke.
Yes.
I don't think that was a joke. I think that guy or girl, whoever, or Zim, whoever sent those papers, fucked up royally.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
understand why. There must be a system where if you type it in into, say, the care system, the parent system. If you type the name, whatever his name is, Hussein, it comes up as red flagged and says, "Oh, rapist." I get that.
There's probably more than one, though. Oh, you mean in the system
Yeah,
with the council?
exactly. So I just don't understand why, how they could get it so wrong. So wrong. Because obviously, I think this will be overturned. It must be.
It has to be, and if it isn't, then
Well, fuck.
it just speaks volumes about such simple things to research. Do you know what I mean? Take a bit of care doing your work. If it's the last file of the day that you're doing, fucking save it till tomorrow. Don't rush through it because now you've cunted this poor woman off.
Don't use content when in the same
Do
sentence.
you know? I will. I will
Well, no, she
because
is pissed off. She is
it
pissed off.
needs.
You know, understandably, she was raped by this dude.
Just to clarify, she wasn't understandably
Oh,
raped.
God, you didn't just say that. But she was raped by this guy when she was 14, or she started when she was 14, and then you know, she had a baby as a result of the rape, and now I'm not sure he asked for this. This is the other thing. I don't think that he actually asked for the custody or to be in any way part of this baby's life. I think for whatever reason, Rotherham fucked up massively, sent out a letter to the guy and this woman saying that, you know, the father has the right to see the baby and be active in baby's life. Which is wrong,
Of
obviously.
course.
The guy's a convicted rapist. Not just once, but 50 girls, apparently.
Wow. That
And
is awful.
the woman in question was 14 when she met him.
Does that count as paedophilia?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Well, why wouldn't it?
Oh, you know, I'm just asking. So,
One.
So is he a paedophile rapist?
You've got someone on your mind? I think, yeah.
No. I was just wondering whether his sentence was heavier, just genuinely wondering, would your sentence be heavier for paedophilic raping rather than just raping? Does one carry more severity than the other?
Well, I think, well, it looks like they call it child sexual exploitation.
Okay.
Rather than paedophilic rape.
So they don't call it child rape?
Child sexual exploitation, apparently. But I do wonder, because I was reading quite a harrowing story about, so you know how recently, I don't know if our listeners know, recently there was a gang of something like 14, 15 guys who were caught in Huddersfield, I think, or somewhere like that, in Yorkshire.
Right, yeah.
They were part of a ring of, paedophilic ring of getting young girls, picking them up, getting them hooked on drugs and alcohol, and then passing them around each other and their mates.
Yeah.
Now, there was one account of one girl's parents. They were saying, you know, she lives in a healthy home in terms of, you know, emotionally. She was never abused, but for whatever reason, she got lured by these guys into taking drugs and alcohol. And I wonder what it takes for a girl, and it must have a lot to do with self-worth and being at that very, you know, very sensitive age where you have all these feelings and hormones coursing through your body and you don't really know how to react to them, and someone pays you attention to the point that you become attracted to it. And you must know that when you do all these drugs and you have, and you're being passed around, that this is wrong. And one of the tactics that these guys apparently used is they said, if you stop coming to us, then we'll kill your parents and we know where you live, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you must know that you need to stop that shit. I mean, I can't talk how they feel and et cetera, but is it the fact that they're scared that their family might be killed, or it's a fucking crazy thought to have, you know, if you have a daughter, it's not just the fact that, you know, she's bombarded with image conscious issues.
Yeah.
She's with, like, boys her age being horny as hell. It's also like these fucking sick pedophile gangs that prey on young girls and pass them around. It's just like, women have it fucking hard.
They do. They have it an awful lot harder than men. Well, I mean, you know, lads, you know, there are homosexual paedophiles, and obviously boys do get targeted, but
well, I don't think it's comparable. I don't think that, you know, I don't think any sex has it harder than any other sex. But I think, because, you know, for guys, it's things like we just get massacred in wars.
Yeah.
And for some reason, young boys are the preference of Catholic priests. That's not funny, is it? Come on. And,
But
women seem to have this, from perspective of emotion and psychology, that they're just bombarded with, like, feeling worthless unless they dress a certain way, act a certain way, look a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, it must be shit.
Well, you know, oh, fuck me. We're going to have to edit that bit out. That's fucking nice. Just yawn down the mic. Sorry.
It's only been 5 minutes and 39 seconds. What do you think of the Chinese using CRISPR to edit a baby's genome? Well, not a baby's genome, a I think it was
an embryo.
An embryo genome. To make them immune to HIV.
To make them immune to HIV. It's interesting.
Didn't we call it in our podcast that it would be one that, like China or Russia, who would take that first step because they have very little
regard.
Yeah, they've got
or value.
It's I don't think it's even value. I think they are not under the microscope by their society as much because it's an authoritarian government. They don't have to consider, ooh, what will the university students think? Fuck them, just kill them all.
yeah.
To advance their own whatever technologies and biology. But we potentially could be seeing a human evolution controlled by humans. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. But you don't know. I guess you're not. It's interesting from a scientific point of view because you're going to see firsthand what happens when you mess about with genetic codes, because it's one thing putting theory to the test. Do you know what I mean? Doing all of the math and the research, but it's interesting because like I said, it's different. There's one thing putting all of that into place, and then doing it for real and seeing actually what happens, and seeing what the outcome of it is. You don't know what's going to happen. What are the other things that are going to change? Because you think that you're switching one gene on or switching another thing off. You have no idea what the bigger repercussions could be.
Well, interestingly, the way that from what I understand, and I've read a paper on CRISPR, but I'm by no means a genealogist. Is that what you call them?
Why not?
A genetics specialist. But from what I understand, a virus is inserted into the cell which disables or enables a certain genetic code.
Right. Yeah. It's frightening, mate, because the whole point of reproduction is to increase genetic variability.
Yeah.
So when you start chopping and changing things and essentially copying and pasting, you remove remove the need for genetic variability, in which case you remove the need for intercourse, and actually you don't even have sex anymore. You just become artificially inseminated because you can just go and choose what type of baby you want. And who knows, 10, 15 years' time, do you even need to be artificially inseminated? Because quite frankly, we've shown that people can clone sheep and stuff like that and completely grow them out of utero. You know what I mean? In a lab.
The thing that I think is happening is that, think about, so they announced this because it's gone right. Think about all the stuff they've done that's gone wrong. And they must have done a lot of it. It can't be like first one in, let's make this embryo immune to HIV. Oh, look, we succeeded. Great. Brilliant. Next. Think how much trial and error they've gone through for them to succeed on this one in order to announce it. I just think
it's quite frightening.
Well, we're now handling evolution of the human race. Evolution of the human race is now in the hands of humans.
Do you think, because evolution is obviously driven by genetics,
sure,
and there are certain factors that, well, potentially there are certain factors that we can't take into account or can't control, potentially.
Like what?
Do you think, well, like environmental factors.
Okay, nurture.
Do you think that as we go further down the line, as we go further and deeper into genetic tampering with embryos and whatever, do you think that they'll get rid of genitals?
No.
Or do you think that do you think that people will get rid of the reproductive side of genitals and tailor genitalia towards satisfaction?
No, because I think people still like sex.
Yeah. They still like sex, but why have the risk of getting pregnant and having an imperfect child when you can have sex, come inside someone, and have no risk?
I think there will always be old school people who will want to have a baby the natural way. I think.
Yeah, but also, those people will be slowly getting more and more thinned out, surely.
No, I don't think they will. Because I think this kind of thing would be very expensive. I don't think it would be easy for you to go in and say, right, well, I want you to activate my kid's gene that controls height because I want him to be tall, even though we're both 5'2". I want him to have a massive dick. I want him to be able to use his muscles much better.
Yeah.
I want him to be less susceptible to obesity and fat and all these kind of, you know, I think, firstly, you know, I'm sure they'll get over it, but there must be a limit to how much you can alter the genes by. Because at some point, things like eye color and ability to see may be so intertwined that you can't just change one thing without affecting the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe this particular HIV gene, which makes people more susceptible, less susceptible, or whatever. Maybe it's a standalone gene that isn't altered by anything else, but everything else, you know, if you want to be taller, that means you have to, you know, you also have to alter the bones, the muscle structure,
yeah,
all the hormone production that will affect height. That maybe it won't be that easy. So actually, I think it'll be more things like immunity to disease. I think that's really what it's going to be, until they work out how to alter micro specification for the human.
Yeah.
And that's inevitable, right? So, you know, the good thing about this for China means that they're one step closer publicly than anyone else to creating the perfect soldier. Let's face it, that's why they're doing it. They're not doing it.
I think that the perfect soldier was already looked at on one of our previous episodes with that robot.
Yeah, but it's also with robots, it's not just the physical side, but it's also the artificial intelligence side they have to control and develop. Whereas with a human, it's probably more malleable, and we've got thousands of years of studies on how to control a human mind and how to create a perfect human killing machine, rather than say, so I agree with you that sooner or later robots will replace the human soldier, but we're getting to a point now where they can probably create the perfect human soldier much sooner than they can create a fully mobile, fully intelligent android or robot.
I agree. I think you already said it before, but I find it very frightening with the amount of mistakes that are going to be made in trial and error to get to this stage of human design, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it can never work in Catholic countries because abortion's a sin.
Yeah.
So until they perfect it in places like China and Russia, they won't be able to. Well, even then, it will be difficult for the Italians and the Irish and the South Americans to justify altering what is considered the Lord's gift and the Lord's creation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Brits will have an issue with it, publicly anyway, because it's it will be seen as morally destructive, because they have, you know, it's one thing to have the right to terminate a pregnancy. It's completely another thing to get pregnant, go through the stages of changing the traits of your baby, and then risk it dying, and then sort of keep going through it and through it and through it. I don't think the NHS will ever adopt it, unless it's for things like cancer or AIDS or HIV or, you know, genetic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think, in a way, the more we do this, and I've been talking to a colleague of mine lately, the more that we mess with nature, the more we disable a function of nature which naturally keeps control of the population.
Yeah. We talked about it before. We talked about it on one of our earlier episodes with overpopulation. And
check those out.
Yeah. You definitely should, because we talked about should we cure disease, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Going along those sort of routes, what do you think that will do for the population? Because if we don't change our environmental views, and we make, or at least say a third of the world makes humans which are immune to every known disease, and getting more and more immune as more and more diseases become apparent, do you know what I mean, as they evolve and whatever.
Mm.
What do you think that will do globally for the population? And what do you think would be a reasonable response to it in terms of the damage done?
I think inevitably what will happen is the population will rise. The better, you know, and we've seen this happen. The better we became at spotting diseases and curing diseases, the longer humans can live, the more babies can be made healthily. Although it's kind of converse as well, and I'll say why. But inevitably, population will rise and keep rising sustainably. Persistently, not sustainably, persistently will rise. But I think the remedy to that will only be war. That is the only way that we can... But then warfare is evolving to a point where you don't actually have to have boots on the ground.
No, it's just a button and some drones and a bomb.
So it's very...
And it's becoming more biological warfare as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dirty bombs.
Yeah. Although they're illegal, the conventions, Geneva and whatever else. It's a really strange one, because Putin said AI is the next... Whoever masters and adopts AI is going to be the next superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right, but I think it'll be another nuclear war, because I think what will happen, as in it'll be the mutual destruction theory, what will happen is America's, Russia, and China will develop AI to a very sophisticated level, to a point that they will be able to stop each other from attacking each other, because they'll just be able, you know, it'll just annihilate everyone. They'll be so clever, and they'll get to a point where there'll be a margin of 1% out from each other, ahead or behind.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether you drop 10 nuclear bombs or 11 nuclear bombs. The amount of destruction is still total, absolute.
It's complete, isn't it?
So I think what will happen is they'll create this AI system, and it'll be, sophisticated enough to kill anyone, anything on Earth, whenever.
Yeah.
Shoot a bullet from China that will kill someone in Russia, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think in the end, war will not... There'll have to be something else apart from AI, because like everything with war, it will get to a point where it's an absolute peak. It'll be like a shark. Can't evolve anymore. It's the perfect weapon. But then not one country will have it. There'll be three major powers that will have it because China, Russia, and USA will always pump money into military weaponry. And they'll have to find something else to threaten themselves with because, you know, we all live on one Earth. And if you start, shooting nukes across the globe, you're just going to destroy it all. So, but, you know, you can't control the world if the world doesn't exist. You know, so.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about the vaxxers, the anti-vaxxers, that is.
Yes.
Chelsea Handler, famous one.
Yeah.
There aren't that many in the UK, I must admit.
No. There's not many in the UK, but there are worrying amounts in some, is it the southern states in America?
Not even just southern. California has a lot of them.
I mean, that's all the fucking bohemians, isn't it? Ooh. I don't get it because, shockingly, the World Health Organization has released data saying that there's been the largest epidemic of chickenpox in a certain area, I don't know which area it is, for like 100 years or something.
Yeah.
I really don't understand the mentality of an anti-vaxxer. Are none of them able to correlate facts, you know what I mean, with evidence? Can they not look at the evidence and say, shit, since we've been anti-vaxxing, chickenpox has gone up. Wonder if there's something to this.
Mm.
You don't have to be fucking Alexander Fleming to figure it out.
No, I think the primary issue is conspiracy theory. And also, not everyone is... I think there's a lot of distrust, and not everyone is very trusting of the government injecting disease into their babies to create antiviral cells.
Yeah, but it's not even disease. They're saying it causes autism, which isn't a disease.
It is if it's induced, surely.
It's a condition.
Yeah, but I think...
autism's not a disease. It can't be caught, can't be transferred.
But if it's induced, it is a disease, isn't it?
How is it induced?
Well, so this is why they are... this is why they are so adamant that vaccine causes it is bad for you, right? In America or somewhere, say there was a bad batch of vaccines, and 10 out of 10 million kids got autism.
Yeah.
And it was apparently because, you know, these 10 families, they didn't live in the same area. I think that's what it was. And they kind of, they didn't have anything similar to each other apart from that they had the vaccine. So immediately it was the fault of the vaccine. That's basically why. And secondly, the US is a very bad. I think the reason why this kicked off in the US is because the US has a bad track record of giving people stuff, you know, like Agent Orange, what was it, where they dosed their soldiers with LSD to work on mind control.
But they've
had these issues before, where the government would put stuff into the water or into the vaccines, and they don't trust them, which is fair enough, which is why I think we don't have it as much here, because we don't have that history. And if we have history, it's been kept quiet, you know.
Yes.
None of it has escaped. So it's, I think it's an issue of distrust, primarily. My parents, as your parents did, said, yeah, you get MMR vaccine at school.
Yeah. What was the other one? BCG or something, was it?
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. You just do. There's no two ways about it.
The Daisy Prick.
What?
The Daisy Prick.
Don't know about that one. Saying that, still got my mumps, so still had mumps. That was uncomfortable as an experience when I was 21. Sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew you when you were 21, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So did you... I know you? That sounds great, by the way, scratching over your mic.
That's all right, mate. You were already in
Southampton.
Yeah.
New Key.
Whatever.
By the time I'd known you and then gone to Cornwall, you had contracted mumps.
Yeah.
How lovely. But I do still have an issue with autism being described as a disease.
Well,
I'm on the National Autistic Society's webpage right now.
Yeah.
And it says autism, and this is verbatim, and that means word for word for our non-Latin speaking listeners.
Wow. Stupid.
Autism is a lifelong developmental disability that affects how a person communicates with and relates to other people and how they experience the world around them.
Hey, I didn't say that they were correct.
No, but I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah, I'm disagreeing with the people that refer to... You can't catch that. How can you induce it? You can probably induce autistic-like traits, but I would wager that autism and the conditioning that these people supposedly receive after getting vaccinated are entirely different things.
Well, it goes as far as mums in the US saying that vaccinations are modern day genocide.
I mean, that's fucking mental. I think anti-vaxxing is modern day genocide, surely.
Well, yeah. But this is the issue, is in fake news and alternative facts, is that you have someone... The wider issue with the internet is that someone says something ridiculous and 100 people will go with it, and those 100 people, you know, will tell another 1,000 people, and those 1,000 people will go for it, and then it suddenly becomes a huge movement. So this movement, yeah, anti-vaxxers, is frightening because it's causing kids who... you know, who shouldn't have measles and chickenpox and rubella to get those kind of things.
Yeah.
Get those diseases. And it's all because they think that their babies are being poisoned by the government. Which, okay, fine, there might be. Go to Canada then and get it there.
Yeah.
Go to the UK and get it there. Like, I don't understand why you would say that. Because clearly it doesn't kill everyone.
No. I mean, I had my vaccinations. I'm not dead.
Mm.
And I'm not autistic or autistic-like.
So,
But it's frightening that in this perspective, where you're saying, you know, fake news and stuff, it's worrying that news and facts become subjective. You know what I mean? So that they become dependent onto the observer. It's really worrying that people take information, develop it into misinformation, then spread it, and people literally read it and take it as gospel. Because then it throws out the actual facts out there, you know, the real news, and it basically discredits everything.
I think the issue is that science and facts don't really matter nowadays.
No, they don't.
People will argue with you about 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
And this is just the world that we live in. And I think it is a fad that will go away soon. And I think the reason why it's published more, I think they always exist, those kind of people always existed, but they're published more because it's the trend, and also because they have a voice on YouTube and podcasting and whatever. But I think overall, vaccines will prevail, because when their kids start dying of measles, and they'll start thinking, oh shit, we should probably get the other one immunized, shouldn't we? you know, there's a reason why we created measles, and that was to prolong people's health, because loads of kids were dying of chickenpox and smallpox and whatever. But I think it is dangerous, and I would want to know if my kid is going to a creche or a school or a kindergarten. I would want to know if there are any parents, they don't have to be named, but I would want to know if there are any kids that are not getting their vaccine, because I would not want my kids to go to that school.
Nope.
Because it is dangerous. It's very dangerous, because even if my kids don't get it and they carry the virus, then I could get it, or yeah, my wife could get it, or, you know, grandparents could get it, whatever the case may be. Am I right to say that MMR has to be taken more than once, the vaccine?
I don't think so. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I just, you know, I never really questioned vaccinations. I just got it.
Because you got
done.
I assume you got it at your secondary school, because that's when I got my MMR.
Yeah.
Jab and whatever. But I think overall, the anti-vaxxers are a fucking weird, paranoid group of parents, and I would rather, because a lot of them are saying that vaccines are ineffective. Well, fine. If they're ineffective, what's the harm?
Yeah.
If they don't do anything, then there's no issue. If they cause autism, well, what came first, the vaccine or the autism?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is it that the vaccine activated whatever gene, or is it that my kid always had autism and I never got a diagnose, because who wants to diagnose their kid for autism at the age of like 3? You know, it's kind of it's a ridiculous notion to have. You see that Madrid has banned any petrol cars in the city centre.
Petrol cars, okay. How about diesel?
Well, yeah. So the motorists will have to test their vehicle emissions, with the oldest and most polluting vehicles banned from the city centre.
Okay, that's good. I like it.
Very good. So it's a bit like the London congestion charge. Not as good.
Yeah.
Just more harsh.
Yes.
Because there's everything. But it's important. Even in Manchester, they've now started considering the use of reduction of cars as pollutants, because they're pollutants.
Right. Yeah. It frustrates me that they're considering it, because...
But these things have to take time, because...
But that's the frustrating thing, that these things have to take time, because time is a luxury that is really not given to us.
No.
I mean, when you read things like, you know, I read the other day that every cow burps and farts 600 liters of methane every day.
Fake news.
Obviously not. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, in all seriousness, 600 liters of a greenhouse gas out of every cow.
Yeah.
And all of the, you know, cattle farming is really growing, obviously, as the world's meat consumption goes up and up and up. Time is not really a luxury that the human race has right now. I understand that decisions can't be rushed, but surely there is a impetus to rush.
It's more the implementation. If you take away one, then you have to have a replacement for it. So in Manchester, if they take away all the cars in the city centre, they need to have a much better public transport system, which takes time to develop and time to implement and time to invest in, which I understand, and also requires money. In an ideal world, they'll just have, and this is why things like electric self-driving cars are a huge thing. Potentially the next future technology to significantly reduce pollution, because they'll be able to be more efficient than a bus driver or a tram driver or a train driver.
Well, they won't ever need brakes, will they?
Exactly. Well, not the, yeah.
And there will be no traffic, because everything will be running smoothly.
Exactly. And they'll all work on electricity.
And the interesting thing is, actually, on that note, I saw a tweet from Tesla's official account the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And they had reached, with their automated vehicles, 1 billion miles crash-free you know, incident-free. A billion miles had been driven by automated vehicles.
Yeah.
That's an astronomical number.
It is. It is. But the thing is, and this is why Tesla will not fail, but this is why they'll be much slower at developing completely automated cars than a Chinese equivalent. Because as soon as there was one guy who... I think what happened was the guy put on his autopilot, went to the back to read a book and crashed. Something like that.
Yeah.
And people immediately jumped on it. Tesla stock went down. People started saying, oh, is Tesla at fault, blah, blah. They're being absolutely chastised for it. In China, that just wouldn't happen. Oh, another kid died. Okay, well, 35,000 people die in the UK or wherever it is in the States, whatever the number is. You know, thousands of people die on the road as a result of driver, not autopilot, but driver error.
Yeah.
And here you've got one guy, as tragic as it is, don't get me wrong, one guy died as a result of Tesla. How many people has Tesla killed through autopilot? Two? In 2 billion miles?
1 billion. Is it?
Per mile, if it was just normal driving cars, you know,
yeah,
it's got to be much higher than 2 per billion or 2 billion, whatever the number is.
One billion.
1 billion miles is a lot of miles. That's like,
it's a hell of a lot of miles.
Back 1,000 times or something, I assume. 1 million times. It must be 1,000 miles.
They did do a lot of graphics on it based on how many trips in the solar system it was. I can't remember, but it was a lot. It was like four times the distance from here to the sun.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, right? To go,
and the sun is 7 light minutes away from Earth. So it takes the light from the sun 7 minutes to hit us.
I don't know how far in miles.
Sorry?
I don't know how far that is in miles, but it's damn far. It's damn far.
Yeah. I think light travels at 2 million meters a second.
But this is why I think what Elon Musk should do is actually partner up with a Chinese firm and develop his cars in China and then bring the ready prototype into the US.
I just don't think that the way that the climate is at the moment, I don't think that Mr. Trump would appreciate it, would he?
Well... No,
I know private business, etc.
Well, look, well,
you know what I mean?
Put it this way: Elon joked about fucking buying out his company, right?
Yeah.
And people said he was high, and he got displaced as the CEO of Tesla, a company that he has built, developed, and has made into a success that it is today.
Yeah.
And they've
a very, very wealthy success
because of a tweet that he made in jest.
Yes.
You know, it got to a point that the SEC, the securities guys, got involved because it was anti, you know, trading laws or what.
Well, they said that he manipulated the situation, didn't he?
I mean,
didn't they?
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But this is where, if you go to China, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't comment. If he's going to, you know, if it was the right move for him, then I'm sure he would do it.
Well, look, they did it with Genome. They're doing it with...
Yeah, who did it with Genome?
The Chinese. They're doing it with...
Yeah, not an American scientist going over there
That's what I mean. They clearly... But imagine if you got the mice of the European and American scientists going into China to basically use it as a... China would benefit from it massively.
Of course.
And the world would benefit from it eventually.
Yeah, but people don't walk around holding hands, unfortunately, in this day and age. You know, people don't just get on to them. And for some reason, the whole world peace and unification and universal progression doesn't really seem to be very high on many politicians' agendas.
Well, because it's not lucrative enough. I genuinely believe that war is necessary for financial gain.
Well, of course.
It creates demand for bullets. It creates demand for your airplanes, your guns, creates.
It drives engineering and technology development, etc., etc.
I just think it's a bit like Brexit, mate. It's all gone to shit.
You've been wanting to bring Brexit into this for a while, haven't you? And to be fair, we haven't talked about Brexit for a while, but
I have.
You know, why don't you tell us your thoughts on the deal then?
What's your latest opinion on it? Because I'll tell you what mine is. Just get it over with. I don't care now. What the deal is, just do it, and then
my opinion is that I get annoyed with people who are getting upset about Brexit. People saying, "I don't care anymore," because you probably do care, but you're being really dramatic about it. You do care, and if you don't care, you should care because it will affect you.
I actually don't anymore. I think the deal that they have now proposed by Theresa May might not cover each and every
nuance.
Yeah, it might not capture everything that every side wanted.
Yeah,
but it's a good start, and you got to start somewhere.
Of course, it's really difficult to comment on without understanding all of the variables in it. People are always going to be unhappy on one side of the fence and they're going to be happy on the other, and then they're going to be the stragglers who are sat in the middle.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you just got to try it. And if the deal doesn't work, then sort something else out, because we're not just a bunch of hopeless twats in, you know, sort of cut adrift in the middle of a vast ocean. Huh. Do you know what I mean? We're a world superpower, you know, financially speaking. You know, we may not hold all the cards in the deck, but we've got a pretty strong hand. I read all of the reports from certain politicians saying, oh, this is going to bankrupt our country and no one's going to want to trade with us, and France want to fuck around with our fishing markets, and, you know, Macron's going to get all emotional if we don't allow him and his country to fish in our waters, etc., etc. And you just think, you know, so what? Do you know what I mean? You have to try these things. And, you know, we've tried the, you know, my take on it now is we tried the European route, you know, the European Union. It didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't really work that well. Maybe it wasn't modeled correctly. The model didn't evolve very well. So we're leaving. Okay, fine. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. I think.
What else can you do? Do you know what else can you do?
Can't do anything else. That's the thing. Can't do anything else. And this isn't even the final deal. This is just the withdrawal agreement.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even.
It's still got to go through Parliament.
Well, it's also got another 2 years until they've finalised everything else.
You know, people are up in arms, and that to me is fake news. Do you know what I mean? Because the deal hasn't been brokered. An initial deal has been offered and accepted, but that doesn't mean that the deal is in place.
No.
So, essentially, what are you making such a big deal out of it for?
So, just to go through some of the Brexit, the withdrawal agreement, right? So, the transition period will be from 29th of March 2019 until the 31st of December 2020. So we've got a year and a half basically to get out of here.
Yeah.
We'll need to still abide by all EU rules, but we will lose membership of its institutions.
That's retarded. Yeah. Go on.
Money-wise, the draft agreement sets out the calculations for the financial settlements that the UK will need to pay to the EU to settle all of its obligations, basically a divorce bill. Because there would have been some funds committed by the UK and by EU, vice versa, either way. While no figures appear in the document, it is expected to be at least £39 billion, and it will be paid over a number of years. That's the divorce bill. Part of the money will be financial contributions that the UK has to make during the transition period. This year, the UK's contribution to the EU budget is forecast to be a net £10.8 billion. Fair enough. Citizens' rights. This is broadly unchanged from the initial draft of the withdrawal agreement. UK citizens in the EU and EU citizens in the UK will retain their residency and social security rights after Brexit. That's exactly what everyone wanted, right? Security.
Yeah.
Citizens who take up residency in another EU country during the transition period, including in the UK, of course, will be allowed to stay in that country after the transition. Brilliant. Anyone that in the same EU country for 5 years will be allowed to apply for permanent residence. Easy.
Fine.
Northern Ireland. Well, this is a fucker. If no long-term trade deal has been agreed by the end of 2020 that avoids a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, then a backstop consisting of a single customs territory between the European Union and the United Kingdom will be triggered. Which I think is basically what they want. I think they're going to get to a point where they can't agree whether there's going to be a hard border or no border, and it'll just create a single currency, a single market.
Yeah.
A single customs territory, as they call it. Northern Ireland will be in a deeper customs relationship with the EU than the rest of the UK. I think this is the beginning of the fall of the United Kingdom.
It's a big shout.
Because if suddenly Northern Ireland is getting a preferential treatment from the EU, so say they're still getting their trade deals as well as subsidies, I think places like Scotland, who voted for Remain predominantly, will also say, well, hold on, we don't want to be part of those guys, we want to be part of those guys. And I think this is where the independence, Scottish independence, will actually get more steam.
Possibly. But we're still a major trade route for Scotland.
Yeah, but what they'll say is, well, fine, we'll devise waters between Scotland and Norway, and we'll just do it through there. Or we'll do it through Holland.
Norway are in the singles market anyway, they're not in the European Union.
That's what I mean. So they'll just say, well, we don't need the UK, we'll just do it through another European country.
Yeah. I mean, even Trump, he seems to have changed his tone, because he said that Brexit was a good thing at first, if I recall correctly. And now he's saying it looks like a good deal for the EU and a shit one for the UK.
Of course it is.
But do you not remember him saying this is going to strengthen the relationship between England and America?
Oh, yeah, but that's all bullshit. Everyone knows.
Of course it is, mate. It's politics, mate. Politics is essentially a word for bullshit.
Well, let's not simplify it. I think what Trump is saying is actually true. It's a great deal for the EU, but a really bad one for the UK.
One of my main concerns with it is, why keep the laws? I mean, why do we still have to adhere to European Union laws?
You have to until the transition period ends. So,
I thought that was the arrangement.
Yeah. So after 2020, December 2020, they can do whatever they want. And I think, to be honest, a lot of it will just stay as it is.
Probably. Yeah, probably. And I know a lot of people wish that they'd voted Remain. What can you do? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Part of me just thinks, just fucking do a no deal. No deal Brexit, done. Get out.
Wow.
But that's the impatient side of me. Obviously, I know that is not practical. It's not. Or good at all. There are some points in there that are good with that deal. Do you know what I mean? You know, people can maintain their residential status and, you know, over a 5-year period or whatever, they can get residential status. That's good. But then some of the things regarding the market, not so good.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? You're trying to negotiate from a position of weakness. There's only one answer, isn't there?
But, you know, I thought that we weren't in a position of terrible weakness.
Why not? Because we're the UK. Ugh.
Well, because of what you were saying.
No, but we are absolutely. Main reason why we have to give all these things back to the EU, because if we say, right, okay, no deal, but all right, fine, see you later, guys. We'll cut off all trade links. See you soon. I mean, I don't know how true this is, but you know, they were saying that London will lose £50 billion from the banking sector because the banking sector will move to Frankfurt, to Europe in general.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's true. That's devastating to London.
We're saying
that commercial real estate will halve in value, which only means that, and what will happen is that the Chinese will come in and just buy it all. They will, because they'll give them just more than half, and still know that with the, in 20 years' time, they'll be back where they were.
Yeah.
Or at least back, or, you know, they'll be up 20, 30% on what they bought.
Yeah.
So you lose a lot, and the EU knows that we're going to lose a lot by having to leave the EU. But what can you do? You know, whatever deal you have now is going to have a detrimental effect on the economy. It just will. You have to.
Yeah.
Because it's not the status quo. There is no way that the EU will allow the UK to have a much better deal than it does now.
No, because it's going to hurt their own coffers.
Exactly. Well, also, it will hurt their own confidence because suddenly, you know, other countries will think, well, why do we need the EU? If we can get such a deal,
Okay,
let's just leave.
Yeah, but then some of them aren't as strong globally as us.
That's true, but then you'll have people like, countries like...
Latvia.
Yeah, they'll go and they'll say, we'll take our Latvian goods and we'll leave.
Our Latvian goods. We'll take our netball team.
I think, you know, it's a bit like if I was... this is oversimplifying it. But if I was leaving my house, if I was leaving my flat and said, right, I'm leaving my flat, I'm going. I've said I'm going to go and I'm going. But just before I leave, what if I continue living in the flat at a much lower rate? And actually what will happen is the contract that we have, we'll amend it so it's much easier for me. But I can still stay in the flat whenever I want to. Yeah? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? They'll probably say, no.
Yeah. Yes. It's a good simile.
Let me leave the flat, but also use it whenever I want.
Yeah, at a much lower cost.
No? Weird.
Yeah, mate. You know, I'd have you as a... well, essentially, you'd be a squatter. So,
wouldn't we'll just have a common flat area where I whenever I want at no
the borderlands we could call that room
at no cost to me whatsoever. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I think I'm all podcasted out.
Yeah,
right,
same.
Now.
Where can they find us, Thomas?
I believe, dear Dimitri, that they can find us on the Twitter, and the Book of the Faces.
We've been very, very active on both.
We have. You can actually, we changed our handle on
Twitter.
On Twitter. I believe it's called Spinner's Yarn. Mm. I believe I'm actually going to have to verify it. So, whilst I verify it, why don't you tell our? Oh, go on. Okay, you've done it. Fine. We are at Podcast Yarn on the old Twitter. Twitter. We are Yarn Spinners One on Facebook. So you can't miss us. We are a rather striking duo. Not that you see our faces, but you know. We're the ones that aren't talking about cable knit and stuff like that.
Golden Asian man.
So if you're listening to a podcast and you're sat there thinking, why the fuck am I listening to how to make a nice sweater? You're on the wrong one. But, you know, you can email us, yarnspinnerspodcast@gmail.com. You know, drop us a line, drop us a hint, drop us a text. You know, figuratively. I'm not going to give you my number. Yeah, get in touch, get involved, have a voice, be heard, have an opinion, even if it's fuck you.
Exactly. Please. Please tell us to fuck off, because at least we know you're listening. Thank you to all the 477 listeners.
Yeah.
That have listened to all our shit.
Well, I don't think we have. No, you know, I don't think that's 477.
I want to believe, and facts don't matter. So, we've got
fake news.
Individual listeners who have listened to us, pretty much.
So,
fuck you guys. I'm going to.
Thank you. Thank you all.
See ya. Peace.
Peace, bitches.
I'm going to.
Thank you.